Now, you know enough about Buddhism by now to begin to interpret this poem. The place you would go, I suspect, I bet many of you are already there in your associations with aspects of the earlier tradition, is to the three levels of truth in Zhe'yi's Tiantai system in China. He said that there were three ways of looking at the world. One was from the point of view of emptiness, the other was from a conventional point of view, and the third was from the point of view of the truth of the mean, the combination of the ultimate and the conventional. The first line, old pond, represents the truth of emptiness. It's the still, quiet pond of the mind, that ancient pond that we touch in the heart of our meditation. What's the next moment in the process? Out of the grass at the side of the pond comes a frog, plop, right in the middle of the pond. That's a conventional event, something that happens in a moment and makes a sound. It also is a natural event. It's an animal. It's not somebody drawing something on the surface of the pond. It's simply a frog out of his own spontaneous nature going plop into the pond. And then what results from this? A sound of water, simply a moment of perception. It's the combination of the ultimate and the conventional. The implication of this verse is that if you can perceive that sound of water, if you can become present to that single moment of perception, then you can grasp in it, in that, like the drop of dew on the blade of grass, the totality of experience. So it's a thousand worlds in an instant of thought, a thousand worlds in an instant of experience. Now, in this poem, it's nice to read it as a mapping of Zhe'yi. I suppose you can see a pretty good way that Zhe'yi's philosophy comes down to earth in a pretty effective way. But where the poem really comes alive for me, I must say, is when I think of Basho himself as being like the frog. Because we're looking at reality mapped on the page, sure. Mapped through the sound of my voice, perhaps, but it's still something out there that's distant from us. But Basho is like a Zen master. He's not in a technical sense, but he's functioning like a Zen master for us. And what he's trying to do is to put into the still pond of our consciousness a sound that will crystallize some experience of awakening. So think of Basho like a frog. We are an old pond. Into the stillness of that pond plops this frog, this guy Basho, making some sort of a sound. And the moment of perception that's generated by this is the moment of awakening that Basho is trying to seek. Now, you get this same kind of intensity in other verses of Basho. I won't comment on them as extensively as I've commented on this, but I'd like to read you a couple of more because they really express in a beautiful way Basho's own vision of the Zen tradition. He wrote a book called The Narrow Road to the Deep North about his travel experiences on a long pilgrimage journey up into the northern part of Japan. Talked a little bit about some of the experiences that he had along the way, and then he often distilled these experiences into these short three-line verses. Here's one that expresses, again, in a very explicit and powerful way, the threefold vision of the Tiantai. In the silence of an old temple, a cicada's voice splits the rock. Pretty clear. The temple, it's quiet, it's silent, it's timeless in a sense. And then there's this bzzzt sound of a cicada that splits, that slices through the air and splits the rock. What would be the rock? Rock of the landscape, I suppose, but also something in the heart of the poet and in the heart of the listener.